Amen, amen. I hope you got your Bible today. Romans chapter 5, because he lives, we are here. Romans chapter 5, because he lives, we are here. And because he lives, I live. And because he lives, I will yet live forever with him. Amen. That's good singing. I like that. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, as I say every time, excuse me, if you will, go ahead and start sharing this. Just put your share button right there. And now I know a lot of you are doing these watch parties, and I guess that's okay, but if somebody doesn't want to watch the party, they won't watch it. But if you just share it, it'll go on your page, and if they're going to look at your page, they're going to see it. And as soon as they go on it, it starts playing. So share it, watch party, whatever you do, send it in a message. There are people out there wanting this, believe it or not. There's some hungry people, spiritually hungry. There's some people out there that are afraid. They're afraid right now. They're huddled up somewhere in some little apartment in a big city. It's not like here. There's a lot of people in big cities that are scared to death. They live on top of one another, stacked up little, you know, 450, 500 foot square apartment buildings in New York City, Chicago, Detroit, places like that. They're scared to death. Because these places are teeming with people, so naturally there's a lot of sickness there. And they're scared. And you know, they might just happen across my sermon on your Facebook page or a friend of a friend of a friend of you. And so share it if you will. There's people around here that are scared. They're scared. My wife said it this morning, I'm not afraid of the virus. I'm not afraid of it. As long as I'm around people that have good sense. But it is contagious, and so we have to be careful. See, with the flu, there's vaccines. I get flu vaccine every year. If I don't, I get the flu. And at my age, it's just about the flu will kill you over 60. It'll kill you. And a lot of people every year, about 55,000 people die every year of the flu, and they're senior citizens mostly. So we're about to that with this new virus, but we don't have any kind of shot or pill or anything. So let's just stay clean, stay safe. But you don't have to fear death if you know the grace of God. Now, I don't like sickness. I don't fear anything, really, because God has taken the fear out of me. And definitely he's taken the fear of death, the sting of death out of me. I don't want to be sick. I don't like being sick. And I know the grace of God can cover anything. It's the grace of God. And so today I want to talk to you about that word grace that we sing so much about. Most people sing the song, don't even know what it means. They don't know what the word means. And so if you turn to Romans chapter 5, let's read verse 1 and 2 and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. That means we can get into his presence by faith into this grace wherein we stand and receive in hope of the glory of God. Do you see what he says? By faith in Christ, we have the ability to get into the grace of God, and that's where our faith and hope is founded, on the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your your love, your amazing grace, your matchless grace, your marvelous grace. Help me today to expound on that word grace just for a little bit. Now, Lord, there's some hurting people out there. Some hurt because of sin. They've hurt their body. They've hurt their mind. They've hurt their spirit. They've hurt their family. They've hurt their relationships. And God's grace can cover that. Grace can fix that. Your grace. And then, God, there's some out there hurting today because of sickness. And the sickness may be self-imposed or it may be this new virus. But, Lord, they need your grace. They need a touch from you. And only the grace of God can do that. So today, help us, those of us who know the grace of God, because we've received access to it. We've been allowed entrance into that grace by the blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work and his resurrection. And then, Lord, those are listening that don't know, don't understand what that means, I pray today they would be enlightened, that you would reveal yourself to them through your Holy Spirit and through your word. And then, Lord, we pray for those today who, they know they're lost. They know if they died, they'd go to hell. They've been convicted, and they need to be converted. I pray today you'd open their eyes to the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Now, help me as I preach, and help us as we listen to your Holy Spirit. Save, reclaim, bless, heal, whatever needs to be done by your grace, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Grace, if you look that word up in a Bible dictionary, it means undeserved, unmerited favor or love. Grace means that God, even though we don't deserve it, we cannot work enough to buy it. Unmerited means you can't purchase it. God gives us his undeserved, unmerited favor through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. Now, a lot of times people say a lady has grace. And what that means is she moves gracefully or slowly. A singer has grace, a painter. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the undeserved, unmerited love of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You can't work to get it. You can't join a church to get it. You can't join a religious organization. You can't even pray a prayer to get it. This has to be given you. We've been given access to this grace. That means we've been allowed. The door has been opened to us through Jesus Christ. So, this leads to biblical explanations of what this word grace means. So I looked up the word grace and I found some scriptures about different examples of grace. Now don't try to keep up with me. I know there's several ladies here that like to keep up with me and they sit on the front and I hear them over there talking. Did you hear it? No, I didn't know. Just listen, okay? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And you know Ephesians 2, for ye are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. Not of words. No man can boast, he says. It's a gift of God. So I am saved by grace, and grace alone. That's it, just grace. The undeserved, unmerited love of God, the undeserved favor, the unmerited favor of God looked down on me, and he saved me because of his Son and what his Son did. And then, listen, he didn't just save me. He had to call me. I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. And then he had to convert me. I didn't know how to change my life. He had to change my life. And then he had to consecrate me. He had to set me apart in this old wicked world to be different, be a part of his family. And one day he's going to claim me, and all of that is by his grace. I have nothing to do with that. I've heard people say, well, there's two people involved in salvation. That's you and God. Well, I beg to differ with you. It's all God, or you don't have the grace of God, because see, there's nothing you can do to make God favor you. So what he does is he gives you the opportunity, whosoever will, let him come. And then once you look toward him, then he begins to draw you. See, he does that. You don't deserve, I didn't deserve that. We ought to be wandering lost sheep out there somewhere. We ought to be hell-bound sinners, because that's what we deserve. We are saved by grace. Now, that word saved, a lot of people don't even know what that means, Brother Fortson. Saved means I don't have to go to hell. That means I don't have to suffer the punishment that I deserve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Now listen, saved means I am eternally secure and saved in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. Not that I deserved it before I got saved. No. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And not that I deserve it since I've been saved. Because it's still all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Even as a saved person, I'm still a sinner that has to battle with sin. I still don't deserve it. I'll never be good enough to go to heaven. So therefore, he has saved me. Now, saved means it's a one-time transaction. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. You don't get saved over and over and over. A lot of people think that. You don't have to get forgiven of all your sins to go to heaven over and over and over. I make daily confession of my sin. I ask God to forgive me, and by his grace he forgives me and he cleanses me by the blood of Jesus. But I got saved one time. Once and for all, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So I'm saved by the grace of God. God did that. That's all him. That's not me at all. I wasn't looking. He was the one looking. Amen. And then here's another one. And we just read it in Romans chapter 5 verse 2. This verse says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says, wherein we stand. Now, that means that I am not only saved by grace, but point number two, I am sure I'm saved by grace. I'm sure. I stand. That means I'm sure. I stand here. You know the old song, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Now, I stand in that. That means I'm sure. And you ask people sometimes, you say, are you going to heaven? They'll say, well, I hope so. Well, I think so. Well, I believe so. Well, let me tell you something. That grace is enough not only to save you, but that undeserved favor, that undeserved love is enough to keep you saved. You say, but preacher, yesterday I did. And I say, amen. You say, but pastor, you don't understand what I did since I've been saved. Amen. Amen. We've all come short of the glory of God. We will never be good enough to be saved. That's why we need a Savior. And by the grace of God, he sent us a Savior. And now he keeps us saved. It says now, Jude says, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence. Now that's his job. Every time those people come to my house to witness to me and tell me how to be saved, I say, well, I can't live it. And I said, you're right, you can't. I couldn't understand that. Well, if I can't live it, how can I stay saved? Once I made you, and I'd say this, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Do you know how many times I've been a hypocrite since I've been saved? Can't count them. And again, I can't count on me to save me. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. And I can't count on me to keep me. I am sure that he's going to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. That's his job. That ain't my job. I couldn't do it. I failed. And it's the grace of God that saved me. And it's the grace of God that keeps me. And I'm sure of that because of what he said. Now, here's another one, Romans 3. I'm talking about the grace of God, the undeserved favor or love of God. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, not only, listen to me, not only did he save me, not only do I stand sure in that, but I found out that if I'm going to believe on the grace of God, I got to believe that he spared me even though I don't deserve it. Let every man be a liar. You say, well, I don't lie, you just did. Everybody lies. I always used a funny example, but it works pretty good right here. A woman walks out in that dress, you know, and she says, honey, does this make me look fat? You tell me one man in America that wouldn't lie. Honey, does this look good on me? You tell me one man in America that wouldn't lie, and I'll show you a man don't love his wife or his life. Listen, he saved me by his undeserved love. He gave me the surety I can stand in the grace of God. He has spared me anyway by the grace of God, though I don't deserve it since I've been saved. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I want you to look at that, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. The apostle Paul, he had some kind of problem. All kind of people debate over it. He said it was a thorn in the flesh. He couldn't get rid of it. And he prayed. And then finally God told him, said, no, I'm not going to fix that. But I am going to give you grace to bear it. So I'm saved by the grace of God. I stand sure by the grace of God. I'm spared what I deserve by the grace of God. And I'm daily strengthened by the grace of God. With all my problems, I go to Him and He gives me grace to do whatever I have to do that day. There's people in this, maybe this audience, and well, I know there is one, Sister Shirley. She had some kind of lung attack, blood clots or something. And they put her in the hospital. And they wouldn't allow me to see her. And they wouldn't allow her kinfolks to see her. And she's sitting in that hospital, ICU, in that bed by herself. By herself. Battling cancer. Terrible kind of cancer. Battling the side effects of chemo. And this comes on her. And there's nobody can go to her to strengthen her. I couldn't go to her, talk to her on the phone, but that's not the same thing. Her kinfolks stood outside the window and gave Bojangles chicken to the people to deliver to her. And she looked out the window and they were out there waving at her, you know, and talking on the phone to her. But that's not the kind of strength we need. We need strength day by day for the infirmities that this old world cast upon us, whether it's sin or sickness. It's the grace of God that keeps us going. You ever went to somebody and boy, you thought you were going to go cheer them up and they cheered you up and you said, I don't see how you keep going. And they say, it's just the grace of God. See, God will give you grace to go through it. He'll give you the strength. Some of you are going through things right now. You need, and by the way, you don't deserve it. I'm not telling you that you deserve that strength. You don't, no more than anybody else does. But God gives you undeserved, unmerited favor and love that you can be strengthened and go through whatever it is and bear the infirmity, whatever it is that might be in your life right now. I preached a lot of funerals in my day, and a lot of people say, I just don't know how I'm going to go through this. I said, well, if you're a believer, you'll go through it. Well, I don't know how I'm going to live without them. I said, God will give you grace to live without them. Well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I said, no, you don't. But when it's time, God will give you the grace to do it. Same way with cancer, sickness, coronavirus, whatever it is. God gives us strength by His grace. I didn't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be kept. And I certainly don't deserve to be strengthened. If I got what I deserve, I'd be dead today. Thank God for the grace of God. It strengthens us. That's what holds your faith together, the strength He gives you. That's what holds your mind together, the strength that He gives you. That's what holds your marriage together. That's what holds your family together. That's what holds your church together. It's the strength by the grace of God. We don't deserve it any more than that drunk or that drug addict out there. But because we're a member of the family of God, He has promised to give us strength to do whatever we have to do in this life this day. He said, don't worry about what tomorrow may bring forth. The evil of today is sufficient thereof. Why don't you ask Him strength for today? And ask Him for the grace to bear whatever you got to bear, the grace to do it today. And older folks like me, we've seen loved ones pass away. We've seen people suffer. We've seen people, things happen to people that we love greatly. And we didn't know how we was going to do it, but God gave us the grace to do it. He gave us that strength, that undeserved merit, that undeserved favor that God poured on us that day, took us through it. And I hate to see people going through infirmities and sickness and things like that. And I want to do something, but really you can't do anything. Only God can do that. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and that's a very familiar passage to most of you. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm talking about the grace of God. God's wonderful grace. God's wonderful grace. Look, don't think you're somebody. You're not doing this by yourself. God's doing this. Don't think, well, I clean my life up, now I'm a Christian. No, you're not a Christian if that's the way you think. You better think the grace of God cleaned my life up. You say, well, I'm a good husband. That's why my marriage stays together. Well, you're not a believer, because a believer would say, except by the grace of God, my marriage wouldn't stay together. Well, I'm a great church leader. I'm a great church member. And boy, I've learned and I've studied and I know what to do. No, you better look for the grace of God is what you better look for, because you need the grace of God, that undeserved favor to help us do everything. And He saved us. We can stand in that. He spared us and He strengthened us. And now Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. Grace. Not the judgment throne. Not the judgment seat of Christ. Not the great white throne judgment. Not the judgment of believers' sins. Not the judgment of unbelievers' sin. But let's come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why? God's the Father of all grace. And so when we get to the throne of Jesus Christ, He turns to the Father and says, Father, that's one of mine. And God says, okay, you take care of that. Blessed come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, when I need something, I don't run up a red flag on Facebook. I say, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or nothing, but I don't run up a flag, tell everybody my problems, and I don't run a fund me page or something like that. Look, I'm going to the throne of grace. And if God can't take care of me, then He lied. He promised He'd take care of me. Amen. And I've never had to beg for anything. No, sir. No, sir. Not since I've been saved. I've never had to beg for anything. I've had times of need, but God always took it to the throne of grace where it's undeserved and unmerited. I can't do anything to get it, and I shouldn't even have it anyway, but God hears it by His love and by His grace, and God takes care of my needs from His riches in glory. He gives us grace. We're supplied what we need by His grace. You need love? Go to the throne of grace. He'll teach you about love. You need hope? Go to the throne of grace. The Lord will teach you about hope. You need faith? Go to the throne of grace. God will give you faith. You need strength? Go to the throne of grace. He'll give you strength. You need patience or whatever you might need. God, go to the throne of God's grace, His undeserved love, His unmerited favor. Don't go up there and say, Lord, look what I've done. I deserve You to hear my prayer. That's not the throne of grace. That would be worse. Don't go up there and say, Lord, look what I did. I built this church. You ought to save me. You'll die and go to hell. You'll die and go to hell. You better go to the throne of grace and say, nothing in my hand I bring. Only to the cross I cling. I deserve nothing but hell. And He'll supply what you need, whether it's faith or love or patience or even material things. He'll supply what you need. See, I'm afraid we get so busy, and now our government's getting people more this way, I'm afraid. We get so busy worried about what the government's going to do. We forget to go to the God of the whole world. And now they're promising people money and unemployment checks and double unemployment checks. And they're bailing out all these companies and all these things. And more people in America are not looking to God. They're looking to government. And I'm going to tell you something about government. We may have a good president, but there's enough devils up there to invade that stuff to ruin whatever good is done up there. Our country's full of devils. Amen. Our country is divided half and half, the good and the bad. And that's it. Now, let me tell you something. You better go to the throne of grace and let God supply your needs. Amen. I'd rather starve to death than let the devil think that God had not taken care of me. Amen. I mean, I've been talking about Jesus for all these years, since 1978. You think I'm going to let the world and the devil and everybody else, do you think I'm going to look at them and say, God couldn't help me, I had to beg the government? No, sir. Now, thank God they're there. Thank God they want to help people. But you better not put your faith in their grace, because their grace can turn away from you in a minute. You better go to the throne of grace, God's grace. Hey, we don't deserve to be supplied what he gives us. We don't deserve that. That's unmerited. And then, listen, here's one I really like. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. I said, we're saved by grace, we stand by grace, we're spared by grace, we're strengthened by grace, we're supplied by grace, and I really like this one. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Most of you know the whole chapter, you've read it so many times. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Do you know what that means? Inheritors. We're heirs. We're inheritors. Heirs of God. Everything God's got belongs to us. Amen. My father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the gold and the silver and the rubies and the diamonds and the emeralds that's in the hills. Amen. My God owns that oil you're pumping out. That's my father. Amen. And one day it's going to be mine. I'm joint heirs with him. I'm going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. I better go on with the verse. And if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means he's the first in line. He's the oldest son. I'm an adopted son. He's the first in line. But guess who's standing beside him? I am. Amen. I'm a joint heir. Anything he gets, I get it too. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is enough to make a Baptist shout. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now that word grace is not in there, but let me tell you something. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Now I come from a poor family. My mama never owned anything. She never owned a house. She never owned an automobile. She never had a driver's license. I was probably just about a teenager before we got a telephone. And she worked in a cotton mill. We had no man living in the house. Her husband had run off and left her and then died. We didn't have a whole lot of anything. We had food. We had clothes. But let me tell you something. Other people might have looked on us, and some of them did. I heard them say it. White trash. Oh, nasty poor people. Why you hang around with them? White trash. But let me tell you something. I might have been a nobody with this world, but Jesus adopted me, and now I'm a somebody with God the Father. Not because he didn't look down and say, look at Ron Wright. That looks like a guy I might want. Woo! He's a good looking guy, and boy, he's so good. No, sir. He looked down here and he said, I need to find me a low down, sorry sinner to save, to show my glory and my grace. Amen. And he reached down and put his finger on me of all the people. And over the years, after he saved me and he called me to preach, I met people in Lancaster, now some on Facebook, and they said, I never would have dreamed this is what you'd turn out to be. I said, me either. Me either. But he picked me up. He cleaned me up by the blood of Jesus. He established my going forward. He put my foot on the rock, and he gave me a new name and a new home in heaven and a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. And guess what? I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, not because I'm good enough, but because his grace is good enough. I don't deserve it. He does that because he loves me, and he loves me for no reason at all. I can't do anything to make him love me more. Did you know that? I can't do anything to make God love me more than He already loves me, because God is love. And if He loves you, He loves you with all His love. That's grace. That's undeserved favor. That's undeserved love. Thank God. Amen. There will be three or four Baptists out there now cutting a flip on your couch. You ought to come up out of that lazy boy and cut a lap around the living room there and shout, "Woo!" I can see Brother Infantino now whistling. He don't say many whistles. Amen. I can see one of them other guys sits up here saying, "Hot dog, hot dog." Amen. Amen. Listen, undeserved. I'm a nobody, and He took me and made me into somebody. Now, I'm no better than anybody else, but I'm a member of His family. I've been adopted into His family. And now I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm going to inherit everything He's got. And that's the whole world, the whole universe, all of creation. He said, "I have not yet seen nor ear heard what God hath in store for them that love Him." Not because we love Him enough that we deserve it, but because He loves us enough to give it to us. That's grace. That's undeserved. We still don't deserve it. I'm a lot better than I used to be, but I ain't always what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I'm going to be yet. Amen. I'm going to be just like Him, and I'm going to stand there when we get our inheritance. Amen. Amen. Now, so I'm a somebody. I'm not a nobody anymore, brother. I'm a somebody. I'm not just that little old dirty behind the ears, hair unkept, a little redneck boy down there in life. I'm somebody. I'm a child of the King. Amen. I'm a child of His. He's adopted me. Amen. Amen. Never knew earthly father, but I know Him. He's the heavenly Father. Boy, I'm about to get over here. I'm telling you, God bless you. Listen, and then not only did He save me and stand me and spare me and strengthen me and supply me and made me into somebody, but one more, Ephesians 2, and I think you'll like this. Ephesians 2. By the way, all these words went with grace. As I looked up the verses on grace, all these words just jumped out there. There they are. They're in the verse, most of them. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 7. Well, maybe we better start sooner than that. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. That means when you was a dirty, rotten sinner. The death sentence on you. Death, hell, and the grave on you. Sinner, going to hell. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That means quickened means made alive. With Christ means we're alive with Him. Hath quickened us together. Now, listen to this. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, all of us, with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Why? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He regenerated us. He brought us. He bought us. He saved us. And listen, why did He do that? So that in the future He can show us off and say, "I did this by my grace. Look at these people now." And He'll get the glory. You see, He didn't save me or you for our glory. He saved us for His glory. Now, people will look at you and me, Brother Jeffrey, they'll probably look at you and say, "You're a good guy. You're a good man. You must be a Christian." And what we have to do is look back and say, "No, you don't know me. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm not always one. But what you see is Christ in me. That's not me you see. You see what He's doing through me. That's not me. That's Him. And it's by His grace. I don't deserve that. He does it. And one day, listen, I will be..." Go back and look at that again. He's raised us up in verse 6 to sit in heavenly place with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches, show it off, His grace and His kindness toward us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Amen. Now, look at verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Did you know that satisfies me right there? I'm satisfied. I'm done. I'm not looking for another grace. I'm not looking for another Savior. I'm not looking for another religion. I'm not looking for another Bible. I'm saved by grace. I'm sure by grace. I'm spared by grace. I'm strengthened by grace. I'm supplied by grace. And I'm somebody by grace. And that satisfies me. I'm not looking for anything else. Amen? Don't knock on my door, Jehovah's Witness. I'll share my grace with you. You ain't got no grace. All you got's works. Works don't satisfy. You'll never do enough works to feel like you're saved and a child of God and somebody. You'll never do it. Don't knock on my door, woman. You've been deceived. You got another Christ. You're not following the Christ I am, and you're trying to work your way to heaven to become a God yourself like you think Joseph Smith did. And that's not going to satisfy you because you'll never know if you did enough works to do that, and you'll die and go to hell and be shocked when you get there. Don't knock on my door. I'll tell you that. I told that to Mormon, two Mormon boys that one day they come to my door. I said, look fellas, you don't want to talk to me. Oh yeah, we do. I said, no, I'll make you mad. No, you can't make us mad. That's the same thing Jehovah's Witness said too. Cause see, if they get mad, they sin and they must not be what they say they are. I said, well, okay, I told you. I said, look, I am saved by the grace of God. I am a Bible-believing fundamentalist. I believe the Bible from cover to cover, and I believe you belong to a cult. And I can tell you the name of the man that started it. And you can't tell me the name of the man that started my church because no man started it. And I said, now you're going to stand here and tell me you're working your way to heaven or to the new world or whatever it is, and the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, not of works. Yeah, well, James says faith without works is dead. I said, that's absolutely true, because if you've got real faith, you'll do good works, but you don't do good works to get the faith. And it won't take but a minute. And the last two Mormon boys said, you're persecuting us. You Baptists have always persecuted the Mormons. I said, I'm not persecuting you. You knocked on my door. I said, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. If you don't want to hear it, don't knock on my door. I said, you saw that sign I got on the door. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That may mean something else to you. But if you don't want to hear what it means to me, don't talk to me. Don't come over here. Because I'm satisfied. When I first got saved, Mormons came by the house, nice-looking guys. They looked like independent Baptists. They had on black pants and white shirt and black tie. They were real polite, and they came in, and they started talking about the Bible, and then they started talking about Joseph Smith and how the church disappeared, and he brought it back, and they're the only true church. And then finally they got to the Book of Mormon, and I hadn't been saved long. I didn't know any scripture to refute them. I hadn't been saved but a few weeks, probably, and the devil sent them by. They begin to talk about the Book of Mormon. I said, I don't know nothing about that book. All I know is this Bible right here told me how to be saved, and I did what it did, told me to do, and I got saved, and I'm trusting Christ. Well, this is another, this is the other gospel. I said, no, I don't know nothing about that. I'll just keep my Bible. He said, I'll tell you what, let's lay out the Book of Mormon out here and the King James Bible beside it and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what's true. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know that would really be blasphemy. But I said, no, I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't think I can do that. You know why I said that? And I didn't even know why I said that, but as I read the scriptures now, Brother Jeffrey, I realize I'm satisfied. I don't need another Bible. I don't need the Bible of the week, whatever these publishing houses are making. I got a book, Bible over 400 years old, and I just keep reading it. It's fine, it worked 400 years. And I certainly don't need an addition, an addition, not edition, but an addition. I don't need another book to go with my Bible. John R. Rice said the Bible will shed a lot of light on them, their commentaries. I said, amen. Look, I'm satisfied. I know who I am. I know whom I believed. I know who has saved me, and I know it's by His grace and His grace alone that all these things happen. So I'm satisfied. That's it. I'm going to look to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't need anything else. Give me His grace. Not my words. I'll fail tomorrow. Probably fail today. But I'll tell you this. I'm not counting on me. I'm satisfied with His grace. Because me will let me down. But He will never fail me. And He'll never leave me. And He'll never forsake me. And it's all by His grace. How about you? Have you ever received the grace of God? Jeffrey's fixing to come play, and as he comes and gets ready to play, I want you to think about this. Has there ever been a time in your life where you saw yourself as a sinner, because the Bible said so, and you knew there was nothing you could do about it except God interrupted your life and changed your life? That's called the grace of God. And then you invited Him to save you. Whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's one name given under heaven, no other name than that name, Jesus Christ. Just call on Him and ask Him. You don't have no theology. I didn't. You don't know how, you don't even have, no Bible verse. I know you're saved by grace through faith, but I've been preaching the Bible. You don't have to know all those things. All you got to know is you're a sinner. And if you get what you deserve according to God's holy law, you're going to die and go to hell. You're not going to be a joint heir with Christ. But you would like to be. You'd like to be adopted into the family of God. If you'll call on Him and tell Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. I believe You'll save me. You said You would, and I'm asking You, and you put all your faith on Him. By the way, He'll give you faith once you ask that. And then you'll know what grace really is. And those who are saved today, why don't you rejoice in that grace? Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. Come on, brother, for it.